Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. We are back after our Extraordinary Women Ignite conference. What an amazing week. What amazing speakers. We had so many powerful women in attendance that are all here to make an impact on the world. I can't wait to see the ripple effect of that room. My heart is full and happy. I love that event and I loved being back in person this year. It was fantastic. Today, I'm happy to introduce you to one of the women who was in the room, Nancy McKay. Nancy is a recovery and resilience expert coach. She's an Equus coach, and Nancy brings horses into her work, helping her clients explore their relationship with alcohol, find their voice, and build their courage. Nancy shares some deeply personal stories today, and her own strength and resiliency is inspiring and heart-touching. Let's meet Nancy McKay. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Nancy. I am so thrilled to have you with us today.
Oh, it's so nice to be here, Cami. Thank you so much for the invitation.
You bet. You bet. I've been watching your journey. It's been an honor, first of all, to be a part of your journey. And I have been watching your journey, especially right now. You are just getting out there. You're getting so visible. You are just the expansion of you and how you're serving people in the world right now is so impressive.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. And I appreciate all the work that we've done together. It's been, you know, it's really been fun. And it's so interesting when you're building a business and, you know, I've had, you know, kind of my focus so laser pointed, I guess.
Right.
And I know exactly where I want to go. And yet, even within that, that's expanding. And that's, you know, it's so funny because it changes. And I'm loving every moment of it.
Yeah. It's just anyone who tells us that building a business is a straight line is so full of baloney.
That's for sure. It's
such an evolution and we're growing with every step of it. In fact, I was just working on a slide that has a picture of our journey as entrepreneurs is that spiral, right? It's like we're growing and we're expanding every single time. And so I think what, you know, it's like this journey that we're on and all the right pieces and all the right ideas drop in for you all at the right perfect moments where the expansion happens.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That's so cool. That's so cool. Well, your business is doing amazing right now. And it's fun to see you being so visible and seeing all the work that you're doing with the horses. And I know the horses have been an intricate part of your own journey as an entrepreneur and as just a healing as a person, right?
Right.
So tell us a little bit about how horses have really helped you in your healing.
Well, my first exposure really to the healing part of the horses was in 2017. Mm-hmm. I was still in corporate America and I had an opportunity to hire an Equus coach in Santa Fe. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I'd ever had experienced anything like that. And that horse that I worked with a few that day, but this one mare, when she looked in my eyes, I swear to God, I could physically feel it go down into my soul. I mean, it was just, I think it brought me to tears because I could just feel her, you know, and so what they say about horses having a visceral effect on you is so true,
right,
I think.
Right.
And so that stuck with me. And the following year, I went to a women's retreat in Tucson. And I had this incredible draft mare that I was working with. Her name was Stormy, and she was unbelievable. She was lining her heart up with mine, and you know, I was exploring some kind of difficult stuff, you know, and she was just right there with me, and she'd stand behind me, and I leaned up against her, you know. It was really like, you know, she really had my back, right, sort of thing. And she kept hovering her head over mine. And
I think I've heard you tell me that story before.
Yeah. And it was like, sister, you need to get grounded. <You know? laughs> I mean, it was like, you know, and I'm short, so that wasn't a stretch for her to do that. But it was just, it was really, and she wouldn't stop. I mean, she just right. kept doing it.
Right.
And then the following weekend, I was in California, and the horse I worked with there did exactly the same thing.
Oh, and what was the interpretation you were taking from that?
That I needed to be grounded, that I okay. was just, you know, and at that point I was in life coach training, mm-hmm. but I knew because both of those weekends back to back were so powerful for me. And I knew I had to learn how to incorporate that in my business. I had to work with horses. I just had to.
Right.
And so I signed up for Equus coach training, and that has been just the most profound experience that I've had.
Right.
And this one instance, when I was in training, I was tasked with going to get this mare and bring her down into the arena. And she happened to be in heat. And so I brought a buddy with me, you know, and because I wasn't exactly sure where she was in the pasture. And so my friend Steven came with me, and, you know, I got her haltered up, and we're, you know, kind of walking down this road, and she's being very pushy, and I'm pushing her back, and she's pushy, and I'm pushing, and it's just pushy. And we get down to the paddock, and they had me bring her in this very narrow gate by the arena. And so there were horses in the arena and lots of horses in the paddock. And I was bringing her into this narrow gate, and she's in heat, and her boyfriend, Cooper, who was a gelding, but he didn't really understand that. So he's very excited, and she gets very excited, and everybody's getting excited. And I'm in this little corner, and there's horses all around. And I got a little, you know, a little shaken up.
Right.
And coaches came to, you know, rescue me. I, you know, I wasn't in any danger, but it was, you know, it was a challenging experience. And the next morning I woke up, and it was our last day there. And I woke up, and I thought, you know, that is not how I want to be with horses. Mm-hmm. I want to, you know, I, as you probably have gathered from working with me, I'm pretty task oriented.
Right.
And I, you know, I was given a task, and I was going to get that horse from point A to point B in, you know, without incident. Right.
Right.
And unfortunately there was incident, and it was because I realized I hadn't gotten myself grounded.
Right.
I hadn't invited Sundance to come with me.
Mm.
And so the next day I had the opportunity to do another coaching session, and I told the instructor, I said, I want to work with Sundance. And she said, are you sure? Because, you know, she saw me get kind of trapped the day before. And I said, yeah, I'm sure. And I said, I feel like I owe her an apology for not being present with her and inviting her. And it was the most amazing thing. I got her into the round pen, and she was pretty spunky and running around, And I went to the center of the round pen and I just got quiet. And then she got quiet and I walked up to her and I said, I'm so sorry. And Cammy, she would have followed me all the way back to Denver on foot if I had asked. I mean, she matched my footsteps as we walked around the round pen. And it was the most unbelievable experience I've ever had.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it was just such a validation of how you put your energy out into the world. And the difference, I mean, the difference in the 2 days was astounding.
Right.
And, you know, all of my classmates and all everybody that was witnessing it was like totally blown away.
They'd seen the instance the day before where it all went awry, and then the next day where it became so grounded. And I mean, we can show up in life in that right that way, right? It's exactly. Like we can go through life being all astray, right, and everything out of whack, or we can find our groundedness and we can move through our work in our life, you know, move exactly through life in a much bigger flow. So learning that difference in how you showed up. And as you are really, you know, as the evolution of your business is really taken into working with people with horses, tell us a little bit about that as you, how your business has evolved to be around, you know, helping women, bringing the horses into the work.
Well, I've been so, so lucky because the people who have reached out to work with me have been really open and curious and willing to go where they need to go, you know, right. And as we know, allowing yourself to be vulnerable is so important in any kind of coaching, but to be vulnerable with a 1200 pound animal, is really sometimes difficult, but everybody is everybody I've worked with has been willing to do that. Mm. And I think it's because they understand the power that the horse has, you know, and the intuition. And they, you know, I find it very calming to be with a horse. I mean, I just relax.
Right. And I always tell people that, you know, you're slowing down to the pace of the horse when right. they walk into my arena. It's like, you know, my horses live a pretty chill life. Yeah. And when we walk out of our lives into the arena with a horse, there's something that starts to shed from us, right? It's yes. the noise that we collect as we move through life starts to come off, and we find a new softness in our body. Right. And when we find that softness, just like you did on that second day mm-hmm. with Sundance, was you find this softness that lets us connect with the world and the people around us in a whole different way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, it's the most incredible thing. And so, you know, I mean, I've had one client say, I got more out of this session with you and the horses than I did in 4 months of therapy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is just, that's powerful.
It is powerful.
You know, and everyone that I've worked with seems to have that big aha or a big shift, you know, and they start talking about things that they never anticipated talking about right. when they walked in the round pen.
Right.
You know, it's just amazing how they're willing to open up
and I know you had these very specific moments that helped you, but I want to kind of even step up a level above that, because you had come through cancer, mm-hmm. you'd come through alcoholism, you'd mm-hmm. come through a lot of difficult times in life. And when you think about how horses were part of that transformation into who you are today, in the healthiness that you have within today, how would you connect those dots into how the horse has helped you maneuver that?
Well, you know, it's the growth that I've had since I started training to become a life coach, but then even in the 2 years that I started working with the horses, has been profound.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
And, you know,
what's happened inside for you? I mean, what's the shift inside of you that has happened?
Well, I'm much more confident.
Yeah. And I see that.
And I think I'm more intuitive.
Yeah.
Because I'm paying attention. I'm more present.
Right. Well, you can't do the work that you do and right. not be present and intuitive. Right. I mean, that's right. just, there's no way you can do that. Right. So the opening up to that has helped you connect into that awareness within.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. 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 And how's it healed from the heart perspective?
That's the most unbelievable thing is because I think, you know, that first horse in Santa Fe, she told me that I was worth loving.
Yeah.
And that I was worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, damned if I didn't start believing it at that point. You know,
I love that, Nancy. I totally love that. Right. And as soon as you said that, I just felt that in every cell in my body.
Yeah. And it's just gotten stronger as the time goes on. And so, you know, it's just, I finally have that. And I'm coming up on 65 years old, yeah. You know, and to have gotten to the age of 62, 63 and not really have that self-love, that feeling of self-worth.
Right.
And I attribute most of that to working with horses.
That's so, so amazing.
It's just, that's where the magic happens for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I often refer to the horse work as the magic. I mean, to me, I always say, may I always be in awe of what happens in a round pen or with the horses, because I don't ever want to lose that awe of like, oh my God, I can't believe what just happened for that person, that transformation that just happened.
Right.
And, you know, and I think over the years I have probably done, I don't even know how many round pen sessions, how many retreats I have done over the years, lots. Hundreds.
Yeah.
And when I think about it, that magic that happens, these big ahas, these big breakthroughs, I'm always in awe. There's never been one that's been ever the same. Mm-mm. And, you know, just how somebody can get so much from that small space, that short amount of space and breakthrough to something different.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't take a ton of time.
Yeah.
You know, it's magic.
Yeah, that is so cool. So cool. I love the word magic around it because it truly is magic. And if it's, you have to experience the magic of the work to be able to, you know, really break through with this. Mm-hmm. So I know you work a lot with women who are in their relationship with alcohol.
Yep.
And so just tell us a little bit, what have you learned about, your own journey with alcohol and your client's journey that you're helping people through with alcohol? What have you learned about, you know, all of us have a different relationship with alcohol, and what do you see happening right now so much with relationship with alcohol?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that people are finally starting to talk about it.
Right. Right.
And because of the sober curious movement and
it's definitely a move. I know some people who are curious about it. They're like, right. Yeah, what happened? What will I feel like if I wasn't putting this in my body on a frequent basis?
Exactly. And so, you know, and then this term gray area drinker, that has, you know, that's new since I've been sober. You know, I've got sober in 2009. And so when I was faced with this, there, none of this sober, curious, gray area stuff existed at that point.
So do you think that those are good conversations?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the really exciting things is, you know, now there's dry bars being born,
yeah.
You know, and people are understanding that they don't have to drink,
right.
You know, and unfortunately the alcohol companies are just like big tobacco was, you know, back in the 50s and 60s. And, you know, they're really targeting women and mm-hmm. they're really targeting young women, especially mothers who right. are stressed out and need a little mommy juice, you know, and it's just, you know, it's just this unbelievable disregard for people's life, you know, and what is happening. And, you know, you can't drink, you can't consume, I should say, an addictive substance and expect not to get addicted.
Right? So true. So true.
And
if you're following the, you know, the trends isn't even the right word, but it's like, it's become such a social thing, right? And especially, like you said, the young crowds of people who are coming together becomes this social gathering of around that.
Yeah. Well, our culture promotes it. And so, you know, alcohol is the only drug in our culture that we are asked why we don't consume it mm-hmm. instead of why are you taking that drug?
Oh, that's a really interesting statement. Right? I never thought of that.
Why aren't you drinking?
Right.
Well, right. You know, because it's not good for anybody, right. You know, and we can get into the, you know, nuts and bolts of it being rocket fuel, which it has the elements of in it. And so, you know, it really is a poisonous substance that has become culturally acceptable. And so, you know, my mission is to, it is a couple things. It's to destigmatize the alcoholism and addiction, you know, to shatter the stigma, because that's what kept me drunk for a long time was
want to talk about it.
Oh God, no. I was terrified of being identified that way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if I didn't want to be an alcoholic, then I had to keep drinking, you know, because if I quit, that meant I had a problem.
And then you had to tell people.
And then you have to tell people, you know, because,
yeah.
you know, everybody you hung out with drank, right?
Yeah.
So then it, you know, it was just a catch 22, you know, you couldn't keep drinking, but you couldn't quit. You know, it was just, it was awful. And then, you know, then I put a gun to my head and I didn't have a choice. So,
well, and I mean, and that, and I don't want to just roll over that because it's a pretty horrible story that you got to that point that you actually literally put a gun to your head and you were ready to end it instead of make other choices because it seemed like the choice.
That seemed like the prudent thing to do at the time.
Wow.
And I know that sounds so unbelievably ridiculous, but you know, I was already suffering from depression. I was on antidepressants and then pouring alcohol over them. So it negating everything. So,
right.
You know, and at the night that I put a gun in my head, I was in the throes of a psychotic break, you know, yeah. and it just seemed like the right thing to do was to, yeah. you know, take away the burden that everybody had, you know, everybody'd be better off without me, that whole pity victim. Oh my God. You know, they'd just be better off without me. Very dramatic.
Yeah.
You know, and, yeah. and fortunately, touch wood, you know, when I figured out how to take the safety off, the gun wasn't pointed at my head.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Oh, that's a big one. And so it's like the transformation that took place from that point was a long healing journey. It's not something you just, you know, okay.
No, like, okay, you know, all right, yeah. moving on.
Yeah. No, you know,
it was very traumatic, and it was traumatic for my husband, and it was traumatic for me, and it was the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah. Because it shifted everything.
Yeah.
It shifted. So you stopped drinking at that point, and the healing is moving. And so when we were talking early on and talking about the horses and how the horses came into part of your healing, this was part of the healing was coming back home to you and finding that love again for yourself.
Right. Because, you know, when you're over drinking and you know you are and it's affecting you, then you're full of shame.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the things that, you know, I had carried with me for a long time was still this shame and yeah. and the you know, that the anonymity aspect of alcoholism is a double-edged sword. And, you know, because you certainly want to protect other people's situation, you know, it's not your story to tell.
Right.
But I was terrified of people finding out that I was an alcoholic, that I was a recovering alcoholic.
So yeah. even then it was like, even then you kept it quiet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because it was, you know, God forbid, you know, and that is the other thing. So that's the other thing about being sober curious or this movement is that the more people talk about this, the better off we're all going to be, you know, right. and it's, you know,
so it doesn't get swept under the rug.
Right. Right. You know, and there's this term, you know, in the recovery community that is we're only as sick as our secrets. And that is so true because until you bring it out into the light, it's not going to be addressed, you right. know, and it's not that something needs to be fixed necessarily, but it's something that will grow and become more gnarly right. when it's swept under the rug, when it's right. in the shadows and right. And it's just, you know, I think it's very, very important for people to share their stories. And that's yeah. why I do with mine so freely is because hopefully it's going to help someone go, well, you know, maybe it's not as bad as I think it is. And that's what happened to me. You know, I was at a women's luncheon. And a woman spoke about, you know, and just very casually mentioned that she was in recovery and that she helped people that were in recovery, I guess. And boy, my ears perked up. And she was one of the first people I called after I quit drinking because I knew that, you know, and I highly respected her. And I right. thought, well, if she can quit, maybe I can quit.
Right. Right.
You know, maybe right. it's not as horrible as I think it is.
Right.
And right. so, you know, just normalizing the fact that, you know, if you're consuming an addictive substance, it's not you that's the problem. It's the substance that is the problem.
Mm,
and you
that's
have
good.
You have nothing to be ashamed of.
Right.
You know, your body.
So it's that shame piece is what it sounds like the shame piece was such a huge piece for you in the mix up and right when you were in the heart of it, right?
Oh yeah.
it was, you hid it, you didn't want to talk about it. And so bringing it out into the conversations, and it's not about you, it is about the substance,
right,
takes the shame off the person.
Exactly.
And gives different choices.
Yeah. And that didn't, you know, that didn't happen overnight either. I mean, you know, that was years in the making for me.
Sure.
To get to
sure.
that point where I was willing to talk about this outside of the recovery community.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
And so it's, you know, it's very, very important to me to
share,
shatter that stigma, yeah, and to share my story.
Yeah. So now that you're working with your clients and you're helping people through this kind of a journey, mm-hmm, and helping them find their own relationship with alcohol and make choices, how do the horses come into the mix of that?
Well, they're, you know, once again, their intuition is astounding. And, you know, one of my newest endeavors is creating equine retreats for women. And I will be creating some, especially for women that are in recovery,
yeah,
or are curious about their relationship with alcohol. Because,
right,
you know, I think also one of the most important things with any kind of anything really is community.
Right.
And building a community around these topics. And frequently, you know, if you're struggling with something, you don't want to necessarily bare your soul if other people aren't struggling with something similar, right?
Right.
You know,
right,
you don't want to be judged. And
right,
that's the other thing is, you know, we all think that people are thinking things about us that they probably aren't, because we're just not that important.
You know, well, and I think the community part is so important, right?
Community is huge.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so to have like-minded people that are struggling with the same thing together with the horses is going to be a powerful, very powerful experience. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to making that happen.
Yeah. And the whole gray area drinking, what are your, how do you help people with the gray area? I mean, just to even identify what, you know, what to do with that.
Right. Well, you know, the first thing I do is I like to ask people, you know, what is alcohol doing for you? You know, what's good stuff? You know, tell right, me what you're getting out of it. Right. Mm-hmm. And then tell me what it's preventing you from doing, or right, what is the effect that it's having on you, you know,
yeah,
and how do you really want to feel, and how do you want to show up for yourself,
yeah,
out in the world?
Yeah. And I know your whole brand is around amazing outlook, right? So it's like, yep, it's looking to this future, to creating this future. Mm-hmm. And by that question, by that second question, that's where you really break into the, you know, the possibilities. I can, you know, even looking here on the camera, you got the dragonfly behind you, which is, yep, I know, part of your brand as well. So it's that the energy of a dragonfly is expansive. It's growth. It's, you know, that future.
Right. Transformation.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and the thing that's important is that we can change. We all have the choice and the ability to transform, and we don't have to stay where we are. You know, so many, like for me, I felt like that was my only choice. You know,
right,
everyone around me was drinking very similarly to me, you know,
right,
and so I just kind of thought that's the way it was. And meanwhile, I was getting sicker and sicker, you know, as the days wore on. And I, you know, I knew something had to change.
Yeah.
And for me, I had to hit rock bottom before I was willing to make that change. I don't want women to think they have to do that.
Right.
Because they don't. You know, I knew for 10 years that I had a problem,
right?
But I didn't, you know, I didn't try to fix it because I was too scared. And now what I want to do is tell people they don't have to be scared and that there is a different way. But
yeah,
you have to be curious. It's not even willing necessarily at the beginning. It's just curious, you know, what would it be like? And how might I feel, you know, and people, everyone I know says, you know, God, even just after 2 weeks, I feel better.
Oh yeah. I get that. I mean, I totally get that. When I think about whenever I do like a cleanse and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be clean. I'm going to everything, my food and everything's going to be clean this next month. I feel so different than, so I get that. I really do.
It's just, it really is amazing. And then, you know, the thing that's probably the hardest for everybody and, you know, is you start feeling your feelings.
Yeah.
You know, because we've
and then what do you do with those feelings, right?
You know, we've been numbing and buffering and all that stuff, and you don't feel the rough edges and you know, and then you have to start to feel those. And so I teach you how to do that, you know, and sit in them. And you know, nobody ever died of their feelings. So
and the horses are amazing for that.
And
as
the
well.
Horses are really amazing for that.
Yeah. Really. So you just contributed to the Phoenix Rising book. Tell us a little bit about that.
This is a book that was published actually down in Australia.
Oh, cool.
Most of the authors are from Australia and New Zealand, but there's a few of us from the States. There's 19 authors in this book, and it's powerful women who rose from the ashes to claim their place.
Ooh, it gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, it's just this incredible collection of stories, and mine is, you know, I talk about my upbringing and childhood trauma a little bit, and you know what I have found recently is that has, you know, my addiction, my alcoholism was fueled by childhood trauma. And so it's, I kind of dove into that a little bit in this chapter, and I'm very proud of it. I'm
that's awesome.
For it to,
and I see your Phoenix Rising. I totally do. So that's amazing. Totally amazing. I love it. Where can people learn more about you and your business, your retreats you're doing?
They can find me at my on my website at amazingoutlookcoaching.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And you're on social, on which channel?
I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram.
On all of them then.
Good. Yeah.
Cool.
Just, you know, lots of fun.
Awesome. Okay. So the final question I always close with are, what three pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with us today?
Well, one of them is, you know, when women listen to their inner wisdom, they don't need to numb, you know, and if we really pay attention to that, to our intuition and act on that, then your heart knows that you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
If you listen to it, you know, I mean, I disregarded my intuition for years and
it's because you'd been numbing it.
Yeah. And I didn't trust it. I didn't know to trust it.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things is really listening to your inner wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're never too old to do what you want to do.
Yep.
And I'm proof of that. As I said, I'm pushing 65 and I've just started training to become a master facilitator with Equus Coaching. And I couldn't be more excited or more proud of myself for moving forward with that.
That's awesome.
You know, it's a big commitment. And, you know, the way I look at it, I'm going to be 75 or 85 anyway. I might as well be be a master facilitator as I go through.
And have fun while you're doing it.
And have a whole ton of fun while I'm doing it. So it's gonna be a big change, and I'm very, very excited. And you know, the other thing is, you know, you have the choice to create your own world, you know, mm-hmm. and the best way to predict your future is to create it. Mm-hmm. And we all have that choice.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you so much, Nancy. Thank you for sharing your stories. Thank you for sharing your experiences and your wisdom and all the good work that you're doing right now in the world. I mean, it's really impressive to see how you're showing up and how you're serving. And I know you have found your pathway, your purpose, and how you're meant to make a difference on this earth. So congratulations for that. And congratulations for this journey, for the transformation that you've taken.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It's such a better life.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Thank you, love.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business for impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at cammygelner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.